We Shun the Sun.
Hey everyone, it's David and Dylan here from WeShunTheSun.com with another podcast of gaming news. Dylan.
Welcome back everyone, it's been a couple of weeks, but we're back again and we'll start off with some news. And so the launch of Dark Souls 2 occurred on Thursday our time, which was the 13th.
Certainly did, yes.
And unfortunately, the servers didn't go up to the 14th, so there was quite a few people who were unable to play the game in its full sort of atmosphere, which is definitely me included. I definitely
had to say.
I really wanted to play the game because the first game was quite broken with its sort of online system. It was hard to get people to summon into the game or attack people.
Definitely.
Everything would fail. This game, it was obviously touted that it would be fixed, replaced and everything, and not being able to experience that on the day I bought it was quite a downfall. And I mean, the days after as well, the servers were pretty unstable, going up and down over time. Mm-hmm. So basically,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's just hard to, it's a bit of a shaky launch, but all round seems to have all been picked up and settled out so far.
Yeah, I mean, even if it took 2 days to fix, that's pretty acceptable these days, actually, compared to a lot of other major releases. I mean, you look at Battlefield 4 or something like that, and it's been months and it's still really not fixed for a lot of people. No, it is a bit weird, though, that it got released on day one with it completely not working. But, you know, I think they've got it on top of it quite quickly. And it is totally different to Dark Souls 1, having the online actually working.
Yeah, exactly right.
Now that it's up and running, it really does work correctly, which it really should have the first time, but it's still a lot more fun to play because of it.
I'm sure we'll be talking about Dark Souls a bit later in the episode itself, but we'll continue on. Nextly, Titanfall also released in the last week.
Yep.
Now, both were released in the same day in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm sure one sold a lot more than the other.
Dark Souls.
Do you reckon? Maybe.
I'd say Titanfall would have sold a lot more.
Yeah, it's on the next gen as well,
I mean,
suppose,
it's got the COD audience when you think about it.
Actually, I don't think it would have sold a lot more at this stage because it hasn't yet come out for Xbox 360 and PS3. And there's not that many people who've adopted.
It's not coming out on PS3,
though. Oh, isn't it? Okay, so you're right. Sorry, yeah, Xbox 360. But I just think a lot of people haven't moved on to Xbox One yet.
Yeah, but there's still the PC audience as well.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it sold more at this stage, but it will, of course.
Oh, yeah. And also, just the reviews. I think whilst the reviews were still positive, with the way the hype was going, they weren't as high as a lot of people expected. I mean, an 8.9 from IGN.
Yeah, which is a very good score,
yeah,
don't get me wrong.
But the way they were talking about it, it just seemed shocking that it wasn't going to be a perfect 10 every single time.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it'd be interesting to contrast it. I haven't looked myself at what they gave, you know, Call of Duty 4 and things like that back when that was released.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been higher. And they've always been hyping this as sort of the next step.
Yeah, that's,
you know, huge thing.
The quote on the box of Titanfall is from IGN saying, "Believe the hype."
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Their own hype, yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's definitely their own. I mean, maybe they were told to hype it up.
Yeah.
Quite handsomely, but who knows? And I mean, we've both played the game. It is what it is.
It is a really good shooter. Look, it is. It's very cinematic. I will say that I don't think it's necessarily super competitive in the sense that... Okay, well, let me clarify that. It's not in the sense that it's going to be like a Counter-Strike where it's ultra-balanced, you know. I can't see it quite being used the same way in the esports scene. This is not a huge thing for the developers, of course, because it makes a lot more sense to appeal to the mass market. And it does that really, really, really well. Every round, you'll have moments that feel like they're ripped straight from an action movie. And I suppose that's really its biggest strength.
Yeah, definitely. It is one of them games where you can just, you know, pull things out and just think, wow, that, like you mentioned to me earlier, it would have been great to have the sort of Halo theater mode where you can take your video clips out and show them to people and things like that.
It would be awesome to be able to do that because sometimes you want to see what you've done in third person, not always just recorded from you know, your own view. But yeah, it's a really, really cool game for what it is.
That's exactly right. And in the last few days, Valve have released their controller for the Steam OS, their redesign.
That. Yep.
So I've got the picture up here. We can see the old compared to new.
Yeah.
As you can see, I mean, the old one in itself looked pretty... I mean, it was early days and things were assumed for touchscreen, things like that.
I would say that the button placement on the original was inexplicable, even the first time I saw it.
It was quite strange. I mean, I guess they don't want you to have to move your thumbs too far.
But you'd kind of have to move them to hit those inner buttons.
Yeah, that's right.
So I always thought that was a little bit strange, and obviously they did too, because the redesign is much more, you know, the conventional diamond shape.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Super Nintendo style. And the weird thing is they've got it on both sides, and I'm not sure how often you'd be taking your left thumb off the movement, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the movement tracking pad. But hey, I guess maybe that'll act as a D-pad.
And I suppose that way, the way it is sort of symmetrical, if you are,
yeah,
if
that's
you do
true.
Prefer to use the right hand for your
that's a very stick, good point.
You've
yeah.
got you've got that option.
But yeah, yeah, it's true. And it could be, like I said, it could be used as a D-pad in
that's right.
emergency situations. I'm sure that's something they'll allow.
Yep. So far, I've been interested to see what the back of the controls look like the triggers and things like that. They haven't showed these off with the photos yet, but it's still interesting because I just don't think these controllers are going to do what they want them to do, especially when they're assumed to be quite expensive price.
It's just interesting because I know they said the tracking pads make things like RTS a lot more viable with a controller, and that's fine, but it's still never going to be as good as a mouse.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, okay, this controller is a little bit better for RTS, but is it also a bit worse for everything else?
Yeah.
You know, is it worth it? I'm not sure.
Like, I mean, I'm watching someone, like, you can see the preview of a guy playing Counter-Strike Go
and
Portal and things like that. And yeah, he can use it fine, but think about it, this is someone who's probably been using it for months.
That's true.
But he's still not using it as good as he could use his mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the problem. But, you know, if it does turn out that it's a lot better for first-person shooters even than our traditional controllers, then that's still a selling point for some people who, you know, who are big controller users.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, moving on. And speaking of controllers and game consoles, we have the rumored Amazon Android game controller and game console coming out. Now, I've got the picture up of the controller there. And as you can see, it's got some media buttons on it as well. So you assume that it's going to give you access to the full Amazon library where they've got videos and things like that.
Yeah, and it totally makes sense for them to do that.
Now, it says Android game console, game controller, exactly right. Do we really need another Android game console? I mean, the Ouya was probably the biggest named one that there was, and really, what's that done?
We know how that went, yeah.
We've both got one, and we both use it as a doorstop.
But this would be compatible with Steam games, wouldn't it? Or is it? Or
it
are
says,
they saying
this? It
is,
says an Android game controller.
That's really strange. Really, really strange.
It's all rumor at the moment, so yeah. who knows, really?
And by the way, I'm not sure. Are we gonna have this picture up for people to see, even if you just listen to the audio here.
Yeah, I'll put the pictures up on the actual website itself.
The layout of the controller, by the way, is very similar to the 360.
Yep.
It's just a kind of boxier version of it. It's more rectangular.
It looks more like the original Xbox controller shape.
Yeah,
but
true.
Definitely, I don't think anything's gonna be as big or as uncomfortable as that. Now, moving on to our next piece of information. I actually thought this was quite staggering, and I had to actually, when I first heard this, I said to someone, how long do you think SimCity has been out?
It must be a long time now. It must be a long time.
About a year, I think.
I would have probably said about a year.
They've just released an announcement that the offline mode is coming soon.
Yeah, I saw that headline.
People wanted that before the game was released.
They certainly did. That was a big sticking point for a lot of people. And by the way, it's even more interesting because, there were a couple of things. The first was that they said the game wasn't possible without the online integration. Apparently, it was integral to having the game, you know, operate, basically. It completely relied on it.
I don't understand how that's possible, but still.
Yeah, that was the first thing. The second thing was, I remember either a hacker or a modder, he managed to get the game working without the online within, I think, a day of it being released, basically.
Yep.
Which kind of proved their claim totally wrong.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it was heavily rumoured that it was essentially, you know, a DRM, you know, anti-piracy measure.
Yeah, exactly right. But I think they've actually just steered more people away from it.
Exactly. And I mean, the fact that it's taken them a year to reverse that decision, I don't think that those people
who
decided to let it go are going to come flocking back now. I think it's too late to get them back.
I was a big SimCity fan back in the day, and I was looking forward to this game. I didn't care about the online integration because I thought, oh, well, as long as I can play the game, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the game just, it wasn't good.
I thought it was too,
it was so small as well. I couldn't make a city.
Yeah.
I could make a town.
A town.
I wasn't making a city. I was making a town.
And it was always for a very singular purpose, which I didn't like. Like, you had to make either an industrial town.
I'll make my town the gaming town. You make your town the airport.
Exactly.
That's not how a city in the world works.
And also, yeah, it was a lot of fun balancing that out in the old ones, where you had to be like, right, and we need to make money, but we also need to have you know, areas for
people
to
make money, but we're not getting any sort of tourism or anything, so we're not getting any attractions and things like that. Like, oh, I'll build a stadium for my sports team, and that'll generate some money for that. But then you think, okay, well, how are the other teams going to get here? Okay, I need an airport.
It was good that they streamlined things like the water pipes, because I remember that was real, caused serious grief in some of the early ones.
Yep.
But I felt like they streamlined everything to the point where it just felt so basic at times.
Yeah, it was pretty much just SimCity Kids.
Yeah, yeah. And you had to like earn, I can't remember, you had to earn points or something to unlock the next building and stuff like that.
I played that game for less than a week and I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so was I. And it just did not last for us.
Yeah.
So,
Next off on the bat, we have Yoshi's New Island, released and reviewed. Now, it's quite opposite reviews when you think IGN have given it a 7.9.
Yeah, which is probably low for IGN, but yeah, it's...
And a Eurogamer 4.
Yeah, Eurogamer 4.
Now, I liked Super Mario World back on the Super Nintendo. It was never my favourite Mario. I didn't sort of like travelling around on Yoshi. I much preferred Yoshi's story because okay, I wanted him by himself. I didn't care about the whole Mario aspect of him being on his back because really, how did that help me? But I was never gripped by this game. I just thought, okay, well, it's a game coming out. I guess people will want this, you know. But, I mean, I barely saw hype for it. I didn't see marketing really for it, and now it's out, and it's not good,
apparently. I feel like it's a warning sign when you're not seeing much marketing for, you know, what looks like a major Nintendo franchise.
First-party franchise going.
The
first of its kind since, what, the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because I remember we were talking about, actually, there were some previews that we read well before the game came out. And they all mentioned that it didn't really feel right at this stage.
Yeah.
You know, the level design wasn't quite there.
Obviously not much changed.
Yeah, exactly. Fundamentals just seemed a bit off. Eurogamer have talked about the fact that apparently it was designed by some other development studio, like a third party one.
Yep.
And they probably shouldn't have been trusted with it because it just hasn't really turned out, you know, in line with Nintendo's usual expectations.
Well, I mean, do we really need another side-scrolling platformer from the Mario? Think about what first-party games Nintendo have released lately.
Again, if it's Metroid, yeah. But
yeah, it's not really a platformer. I know what you mean, though. It's a side-scroller. That's a bit different.
It is different. I mean, level-based, you know, Mario's already been covered pretty extensively on the 3DS in recent times and on the Wii.
And the Wii U, yep.
It'd be just nice to see them hit some of their other franchises now.
That's right. I mean, Donkey Kong went back to side-scrolling as well.
Mm.
I mean, that's back to its roots. I mean, Donkey Kong 64 may have been not the most heralded game in the world, the downfall with that game wasn't the fact that it wasn't a side-scroller. It was just too much of a collectathon sort of thing.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, I'm not saying don't use Yoshi. I'm just saying maybe think of a new type of game to have him in.
That's right.
Not just another 2D, you know, exactly the same kind of platformer.
Yeah, I guess the thing is they think, okay, these things sold before, they'll sell again.
Yeah, and look, it probably will still sell again from people who, you know, are going from the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it had such a good name. So it's just disappointing it hasn't really turned out as good as what everyone wanted.
Apparently, last month, I believe, I was reading correctly, in February, the Wii U outsold the PS4 in Japan.
Really?
Yep.
Wonder what just came out over there. Apart from Zelda, I know that they're, you know, obviously making a big marketing push and it makes sense for them to target Japan even more heavily than here because Japan are much more likely to buy Nintendo. I really wonder how they've done that. I wonder what piece of software has convinced people.
Yeah, I'm hoping I read the news correctly. I definitely saw Wii U outsells.
I think I remember hearing it too.
I believe it was February.
Yeah. I mean, they have got Mario Kart. I mean,
when you think about what came out for the PS4 at all.
That's a good point too. That's a really good point too. I mean, they don't even like shooters in Japan traditionally, exactly, so Killzone wouldn't have been a pull for them. I mean,
that was launch game anyway, but like, literally, I don't think a single game was pretty much released.
Yeah. What will grab the Japanese audience is if they release some sort of big RPG. And I don't Monster know. Hunter
or something. Nothing's been announced.
Yeah, or Monster Hunter, yeah. Nothing has been announced, has it?
Nothing's been announced. No new games have been announced since the E3 last year, really. So
yeah.
We've got the GDC coming up in a few weeks. We hope some new things are announced or release dates are shown or, you know, just some new information thrown out there. Because really, besides Infamous and Titanfall, you know, our main sort of system sellers are done in the next week.
Exactly. Yeah, we really want to see more developers jumping onto next gen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sony came out saying that every single one of their studios is working on PS4 games.
It's kind of like, tell us about some of them then.
Yeah, it's exactly
I know it's early, but give us hope.
They're going to show us a little streaming clip at E3.
Yeah, just FMV. Who knows? Yeah.
And speaking of Sony, the Last of Us movie has been confirmed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, it's a pretty solemn game of a guy and a girl walking around, you know, a little
bit. It won't
girl.
Be cheerful, yeah.
It's not going to be a cheerful game. It's pretty much, like, I mean, and people already draw conclusions to the movie The Road.
Oh, surely not that bleak.
It's not. It's a pretty bleak game.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, do we think this is going to be another video game movie gone wrong, depending on how it goes?
I think it's got more potential to be done well than the others, just because the story lends itself to a movie, really.
That it's not really that much of a video game itself.
Yeah,
it's more of a story.
An interactive story, really. I mean, Naughty Dog, you could probably argue, have approached all their more recent games in that way.
It's almost like their games are movies.
Uncharted's like an interactive Indiana Jones in many ways.
Right.
The only thing I will say is that I feel like zombies are very much in the main. Yeah, well, they're certainly covered by Walking Dead and a lot of other. I mean, World War Z was relatively recent. The book was super popular. I just wonder whether that's what's really made them think, hang on, maybe we should make a movie of this as well. People are liking zombies right now.
Well, I think people were liking zombies 2 years ago.
True. Let's hope they're still. Let's hope people are still not sick of zombies by the time the movie's actually out. They're
first announcing it now. That means you're probably not going to see it for another 18 months at least.
Exactly. At least, yeah.
But moving on, the first person ever to reach 1 million gamer score.
Which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and I just can't believe there's even that many games out there that would give you 1 million points.
Yeah.
If it's 1,000 points a game, is that 100,000 games?
No, I think the maths is wrong there. It has to be. Is it 1,000? I think it's...
Most games have 1,000 for gamer score.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, expansions you get 1,200. Some arcade games are 200. But...
Open your calculator.
I have to. Is it 100,000?
Sorry, our maths is terrible.
It really is.
I'm sure that other people could do this so easily. What's 1,000 times 1,000? That's it.
Okay, so it's 1,000 times 1,000.
Mind you, 1,000 is still ridiculous.
That just proves that my math is wrong. It's still 1,000 games he must have completed.
He hasn't played 100,000 games.
Well, he should have. That's not a fantasy.
1,000 games is still ridiculous, though. For one thing, that means that he's completed them fully, if we're saying 1,000 games. And now, secondly,
we can only imagine that 999 of them games were shovelware.
Yeah, well, that's right. He's obviously played through everything, and I know that's something a lot of the achievement hunters do.
I was speaking with a friend last night, and he showed me one of his friends that had almost clocked up 200,000 gamer points. And wow. I said, surely this is all shovelware. And I went through there, and there was not one piece of shovelware. The worst game he had was the Avatar game. That was probably the worst offender he had.
That's a pretty bad offender, but I assume the rest were.
And even then, he hadn't finished it. He only had like 300 out of 1,000 of it. But he still, I think he had 194,320 gamer points.
That's incredible.
Gamer score or whatever it was.
That is incredible.
I've probably had in my time about 50 to 60 Xbox 360 games, and I'm sitting pretty on a nice 16,000.
Yeah, I'm on 20-something thousand. But I feel like I've played
so many games, but the thing is, I don't finish these games.
No, that's true. We don't.
Right now, the main things I play my console for is FIFA, and the only way to get achievements on FIFA now is to play online, which you can't do in Australia.
Yeah. Or Ultimate Team, which is spending money on cards.
Damn about. All right, moving on. The Watch Dogs requirements for PC have been released and will require a minimum of 6 GB of RAM to run.
Really?
That is going to rule quite a few people out there.
Because
honestly, there's not much that requires more than 4 GB right now. I mean, I've got 32 GB of RAM and
you'll be fine.
It is not needed. Yeah, I know for a fact, like I'm building a PC for a friend shortly and they're putting in 16 GB and even I know that that's overkill.
Yeah, it is. But you know, we are hitting the next generation of console games and this is probably, I think, steadily going to become the norm.
Yep.
Well, that's probably an obvious statement that, you know, specs are always going to rise, but now that the Xbox One and PS4 are out, when we're seeing ports for those games come, I think we will see things like this become the standard.
Now, Sony have also announced that they are working, I can't remember who their partner was, but they're working on new discs that hold 300 GB of storage.
Wow.
That's a lot. But when you're thinking about it, you've gone from 4 GB to 50 GB.
Yeah.
Is 50 to 300 is not as much of a jump as 40 to 50 when you think of percentage wise.
So let me clarify. So they're saying the discs will hold 300 gigs of data.
A disc will hold 300 gig.
So this is what the games are going to be released on?
Well, they've just announced that's technology. Same as the way Sony came up with Blu-ray.
It does scare me a little, the idea of downloading those games.
we can't even download 50 gig. I mean, I lent Forza 5 off a friend. I wanted to play that. It came up on my screen, needed an 8.1 GB download. I just put it back in its box and I'll give it back tomorrow.
Yeah, for Australians, it's difficult. I mean, especially, you know, if you've got a relatively low monthly limit. It's pretty hard to download those huge patches.
That's definitely right. Definitely is. And lastly, preloading of games. A lot of people are quite outraged. You know, game companies want to go digital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to, we can keep costs down by not actually physically manufacturing these. I mean, the prices aren't really reflective of the fact that they're saving money, but a lot of people are quite upset that, you know, midnight launches are happening in countries everywhere where someone can pick up their game at 12, theoretically drive home and be playing at 10 past 12. Quite a few people are now getting upset that they cannot preload their game to be ready to go at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone wanted Titanfall
at
12 o'clock. Everyone wants, you know, a lot of people want Infamous, 12 o'clock, etc., the new Call of Duty and things like that. What do you think? Do you think these games should be allowed to be preloaded the day before?
I can only assume that the reason for not allowing is if they're afraid that people are somehow going to manage to break the protection and play it early. I'm just totally guessing here, because if that's not it, then I don't understand it.
Yeah,
I feel like they should definitely be able to preload it.
If one person figures out how to break it and preload it, I mean, he's going to have to be pretty smart firstly and be able to get onto the back end. And even then, he's only got a day to do it.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
I'm just theoretically saying, okay, we make preload available 24 hours prior.
But I can understand their frustration at that because, I mean, these are the people who are paying pretty much the same price as what's in the store, let's be honest, if not more sometimes. And
getting nothing physical for it.
And they're getting nothing physical. So, in other words, the game companies would love people who do this.
Well, of course.
They would love the people who pay the full amount to them directly with no middleman in between. Exactly so, right. I don't know why you'd try and penalise them.
Yeah, so, I mean, because quite a few people were hoping, you know, we want our Titanfall preload. So, at 12 o'clock, 12:01, we can jump on that server.
Yeah, and exactly. Get going.
Whereas they announced, no, there will be no preload. And, I mean, I believe it was 48 gig extracted on the PC and like a 28 gig download. On the Xbox, it was quite less. But I mean, let's face it, on the PC, 32 gigabytes of it was audio.
Yeah, I know. Out of 48,
32 gig was audio. And I have a full 7:1 surround sound headset, and I can honestly say it does not sound any better to me than Call of Duty 4 did.
There's obviously something going on with the audio there that we can't detect. I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it sounds bad.
I wouldn't say it sounds 30 gig of audio good. That's a heck of a lot.
That must be the most uncompressed audio in the world.
Yeah. full clarity in the Titanfall audio.
Oh, no. So anyway, that brings me to my little end of the list. Well, now we'll go on to our little discussion of what we've been playing.
I think there's something else. I think we should talk a bit more about Dark Souls, because I think we were going to come back to that.
Yep.
So just any general observations? Because I know, by the way, we've been looking forward to Dark Souls 2 for ages.
Yep, the game's been out for, 3 days now? I've put in about 14 hours.
Yep.
It would have been a lot more had them servers been up, I can say that.
Yeah.
I can say that. Like, I was literally turning the game on, server's not on, okay, turn it off, I'll go play Titanfall.
Yeah.
Things like that. Or server's not on, okay, I'll have a game of Dota. Things like that. Because I wanted to be able to... I literally spent summer Friday where the servers were up, just sitting there and helping people beat bosses. Like, I wasn't progressing in my own story. Yep. I just liked to be able to help other people get forward with the game.
Definitely.
Because there is, even though there's that no vocal thing, like, apparently there is an item or something you can get where you can voice chat with each other. I've not seen anyone trying it.
I think you've got to both have it enabled in your settings.
Probably, but I mean, even in looking online, no one even speaks about it.
Default is to have it off.
And that's so the way it should be. Plenty
of people probably don't even know. Yeah.
I mean, it would be helpful for me to scream at someone saying, no, stop running at that boss, exactly. What are you doing? Things like that. But there is that thing where I did spend about 3 to 4 hours just helping people progress in their games. I mean, I love the game. It's ridiculously hard. It's a different type of hard from the first Dark Souls as well.
I'd agree with that.
They're both hard in their way. They're both the same sort of game, but it's a different type of challenge, this game.
Yeah, like you pointed out, and I totally agree with this, so far there's a lot less one-on-one fighting. Yep. You're much more likely to be mobbed by enemies.
Yep.
I wouldn't say I necessarily prefer that change, because I still feel like the combat is fundamentally designed for one-on-one, you know, the whole lock-on against one person and things like that. You can obviously use the environment to try and funnel people at you directly, so I guess there's strategies around that too. But overall, I think the game seems like very much a worthy successor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were changes that we're not too fond of. When we loved in Dark Souls 1 how connected the world felt, where everything sort of all led back to the same area of Firelink Shrine and things like that. Whereas this one, having fast travel available from the offset is just basically, it sort of disconnects you a bit from the land itself. I mean, it's not too bad, but it is something we were hoping that the land was going to be totally connected again, and we're all of a sudden going to discover something which is going to lead us to a shortcut back to the area we were, so we'd have that sort of wow moment of, so this is where that place goes, and things like that.
And one other thing I even liked, and this sounds weird because I usually don't like, you know, backtracking or, you know, repetition in games, but there was something about the fact that you had to backtrack in Dark Souls, and you had to become really familiar with all the, especially the early game sections.
Yep.
That by the end, they were just like a second home. You're navigating across all the ledges, jumping, taking shortcuts, evading enemies. You know where they all are. And you could really spot a veteran playing Dark Souls 1 as opposed to... And you know, I'm sure that's still going to be the case with Dark Souls 2, but I just can't see myself memorizing any of the early areas in the same way that I did the first time, because you just don't need to.
Yeah, the fact that you can just fast travel to the next area is, okay, I've done this area, I finished that boss, that's fast travel to the next area.
Yeah.
Rather than, okay, if I go this way, it's actually a shortcut to get to this part.
That's right. And if there's anyone who hates the idea of any kind of backtracking, then they're probably going to prefer the change.
So that's the thing. It allows you to do it. So you can still do it. You can still do it the old way
if you want to.
Yeah, because everything does still seem to be connected. Like, I found a back way to somewhere and then went the normal way and found another way to the same place. I was like, okay, so I couldn't... I can fast travel there, but I can also walk there, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, also, the change of only being able to level up at the main hub world also, I guess, it sort of likens...
I wouldn't say it improves things.
It doesn't improve things. It takes... the idea back from Demon Souls.
Yeah.
That's the way Demon Souls work, the exact same, pretty much the same way. Like, you just speak to this one lady in the hub world area, and she's the person you give your souls to upgrade and things like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it really adds anything for me personally.
Yeah, I don't have to talk to someone.
It probably adds a fair bit more travel and loading screens than I don't otherwise have.
For a lot of people on the consoles as well, I mean,
the
PS3 loading times have been shown to be quite a bit worse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that every time you want to level up, you do have to suffer through that loading screen. But
I mean, these are minor.
Yeah, there's nothing criticisms to do with the real gameplay of it. I mean, I've probably gone through 6 bosses now. I think there's close to 30.
Mm-hmm.
I've played 14 hours of the game. I think I've probably seen maybe 5 of the places out of maybe 20, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm talking about not 20 total different areas, but 20 sort of different section of areas, things like that.
And like you, I totally agree that, I've spent quite a lot of the time in co-op. And I think that's mainly because really got to the chance to scratch that itch with the first one.
Yep.
You kind of wanted to be able to do that a bit more and help people out. It makes for some pretty fun situations. But and this time around, it really works. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm playing the game a different way right now, where I'm helping people out and things like that, because I know I'm getting the game again on the 25th of April on PC. Exactly. And I will have to start again. I'm not going to have a problem with starting again, because I do fully think I will have beaten the game by then. I will have that little bit of break, and I'll be happy to embrace it again and try it a different way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the sort of game that you just replay over and over, like Dark Souls 1.
Exactly, and I can't wait to see other people's speed runs and things like that. I wish I was good enough to do these things, but I know it never will be.
You know there's going to be some freakish stuff when it comes to speed runs.
All of a sudden people will finish the game in 48 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Things like that. And speaking of the next game, what are your personal thoughts on Titanfall, the next big release? From what you played, do you believe that it could be a system seller for Xbox One? Like, do you think it stands up to people should buy this game if they're really into it?
I think, honestly, yes. Because if you're a massive shooter fan, then it probably does. It probably does satisfy everything that you're wanting. It does feel next gen. I'll give it that. And I know there's some irony in that because it is coming for the 360. I'd like to see
how... The thing is, it doesn't look next gen.
Yeah, it just more feel... I think it looks good.
It looks good. I mean, some parts of the game still look pretty damn ugly. Like, when you jump on and rodeo a Titan...
Yeah, I haven't even tried that.
Oh,
good?
It looks terrible.
Right.
The textures of the Titan, when you're that up close, just don't look good at all. Like, looks like something that would have looked shoddy on Modern Warfare 4.
I feel like the scale or just the action is at such a ridiculous level that...
It does look good, and it runs nice and smooth at like 60 frames a second on the PC.
Yeah, and see, maybe that's true. You know, if you stop and look at a wall close-up, it might not be great, but... Titanfall is the kind of game where you're not going to be stopping very often.
There's not much stopping. Like,
there's a lot of pace in
that. When we were playing earlier, Dave, in frustration, did scream out, "Who camps in Titanfall?"
Yeah.
Because it's not a game where you stand still. It's games where you're just wall running, jumping, capturing a flag, if that's what you're doing.
Yeah, jumping your Titan in midair and all sorts of ridiculous stuff. Like I said, very cinematic game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What else? Have you been playing anything else besides Titanfall and... Dark Souls?
Still a bit more Bravely Default, which I say every week because I make tiny bits of progress here and there until I get stuck on a bus, which happens quite frequently. I remember in the last podcast I said I'd try out Harvest Moon as well, which I have. I turned it on, played through the early stages of the game, and it seems predictably really good. It seems like a really solid Harvest Moon game. This is a new beginning.
Not good enough to go back to, though.
I'll be going back. I'll be going back. It's just there's just a lot of games to play now with Dark Souls and Titanfall, but...
Yep.
Harvest Moon is a really cool game. I just love the franchise, and I can tell this one's going to probably have a heck of a lot in there.
Yeah, definitely. Also, what's coming out very shortly, as we speak of what is upcoming, We have Infamous Second Son in 5 days. So yeah, before our next podcast, which we'll hopefully get out for you next weekend as well, I'll be able to give my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
As I'll definitely be picking that up on release. On the 19th, the Dota 2 documentary, Free to Play, comes out. It's been getting great reviews, not just from gaming...
Oh, really?
Gaming sources, but from normal video things. That's pretty cool. It's an eye-opening sort of esports thing.
Mm. Hefty only, download, though.
Yeah, that's my only issue. I was very happy to... I mean, it's free to download, but I was happy to pay for the bundle, which supported the players and got some inside Dota 2 items, things like that. But I don't really want to download a 4.2 gigabyte movie.
I wish they gave options. Like,
exactly, they should have laid... Okay, different quality levels. Do you want to download this at low, medium, high? Do you want to stream it?
Exactly, yeah.
I would stream it. Simple as that.
In medium quality or something. That's
exactly right. So, I mean, it's like, all right, I know I'm not going to need to watch this again anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, I mean, let's just face it. If you're downloading a pirated movie, the HD version of it is only like 1.6 gig.
Yeah, it's true.
So it could be compressed. It's so much more. It just seems strange to me. I mean,
you wonder what codec they're using, yeah.
Again, it's a problem none of the world has to worry about besides, yeah, exactly, you know, the few countries with download limits.
That's right.
Like, I mean, if you had asked me this question, if I had 500 gig to download every month, I would just laugh and say, yeah, it's already done.
Exactly. You wouldn't even worry about it.
But I do suggest if you, you know, you want to learn a bit more about the esports scene, not just Dota 2 by itself, but it's meant to be an interesting story. And even in saying this, I'd say I probably will have watched it by our next podcast, so I'll give my thoughts on it as well. I mean, even if I do have to stream it, because I have read of people who are already happy to stream the film on Twitch.
Oh, wow.
For other people who don't want to download it.
Pretty cool.
So I'll be getting around to it. So until next time, thank you all for joining us, and we would like you to, obviously, if you can, share the podcast around. Let us know what you think on our Twitter, which is obviously twitter.com/weshunthesun, our website, our Facebook, etc. You can access all of it through our website, obviously, which is www.weshunthesun.com. And we thank you all for listening.
Yep, done. See ya.